Be'ez Hashem Yisbo'ch, we begin Perek Sheni, the second Perek in Hilchas Yibum Chalitza, the laws of when a woman, when her husband dies without any children, that she has either Yibum or Chalitza, which we continue with the halachas of how to do Yibum, the consent of both sides, the woman and the man, that of the Yavam and the Yavama, and the prohibition of the Yavama to marry a Zar, a foreigner, before she has either Yibum or Chalitza from her Yavam. So the Rambam begins Halacha Aleph regarding the actual Kedushin of Yavama and the Ksuba. As the Rambam says, Halacha Aleph, Medivri Sefer, from rabbinic law, Shal Yavei HaYavam Al Yavimte, that the Yavam, the brother-in-law, the brother of the husband who died without any children, should not cohabit, that is, to consummate the relationship, the Yibum marriage, Al Yavimte, on his Yavama, which is the widow, until he first does Kiddushin, because it's inappropriate, although that's according to the basic biblical law, it's inappropriate to go ahead and acquire a woman with cohabitation. So rather, rabbinical requires that there be a Kiddushin, in front of two witnesses, pruta, with the denomination of a coin with a pruta, or that are worth the value of a pruta, which is what's generally done by a regular woman, a single girl, and that's what's called maimer, which that's the rabbinic marriage, rabbinic kiddushin, which is the same type of kiddushin as a regular woman, that was rabbinically required for that of a yavama. Now, the ena maimer couldn't be yavama kinyan gum or kamaya be. Now, however, the maimer does not acquire by the yavama a full-fledged kinyan like the cohabitation, which that's the biblical kinyan of the yavama. And moreover, va'isa maimer be'yavim tushle medaita. In contrast to the actual bia, as we'll explain, which is the actual yibum, if someone does the maimer by his yibama without her consent, he hasn't done anything, and she wouldn't even require a get for that maimer. And the reason is, she'enisha miskadesha, celebrating the woman's not become engaged, only with her consent, as is always the case by kedushin. Moreover, katanim and erison, if let's say this widow was only engaged to his brother who passed away, and she's a minor, you could only do maimer with her father's consent, which is always the halacha as a girl that was only nisars, was only engaged, that then when she becomes subsequently engaged to someone else, it's the father who does the kedushin for her. Now halacha base. Just like we're saying rabbinically, we require kedushin on the yavama. So do you do the brachas of marriage with 10 people, that we explained in Hilchos Ishus, because of ksuba, kedin kol noisi isha, and he writes ksuba like anyone who marries a woman. Now, abba yavim to b'lo yasa b'maimer. Now, if someone does bia with the yavama, and he does not do the rabbinically required maimer, so kana kin yagamer, so obviously she has a full-fledged acquisition of her, of his yavama, as is biblical law, and ve'in tzarch lav, so l'kadosh ha'chabeil, doesn't have to subsequently go ahead and do a kedushin after he really acquired her with cohabitation, but amakar noisa makas martis, they give him the lashes of the rebellious ones, which is he rebelled against the words of the sages to require to first do kedushin before he does the bia. And because of a ksuba, he has to write a ksuba, which is because it's forbidden for a man to be married to a woman without a ksuba. Halacha gimel. Habal yavimta. Someone cohabits with his yavama, his sister-in-law, his brother, his wife, who died without any children, and he does this bein b'shegig, whether by mistake, meaning he didn't realize this was his yavama, he thought it was his wife or some other woman, bein memezu, whether deliberately, meaning for the purposes of znus, for promiscuity, not for the mitzvah of doing yibum, bein ba'enis, whether it was something beyond his control, meaning that he actually intended for his wife, and then his yavama grabbed a hold of him and had him cohabit with her, so it was forcibly done on him, or bein baratzin, or whether it was with his consent, meaning that both of them were doing it for the mitzvah purpose. Bein shahayu hu mezid v'hishageges o yanusa, whether he was deliberately doing for some znus purpose, and she was doing it by mistake, or was forced upon her, where either way, both of them are not doing it for the mitzvah purpose. Bein shahayu sehi mezid v'hushageges, or the reverse, she was doing it deliberately for znus, and he was unaware, or was, he was being forced. Bein shahayisi yishena, whether she was sleeping, bein shahayisi eir, whether she was awake, bein shabola kedarka, whether he had vaginal intercourse with her, bein shalei kedarka, whether he did it with an unnatural way, anal, echrem ara, and whether even if it's only just the corona, there's not even the complete cohabitation, vechera geimer, whether he completes the cohabitation where the whole aver goes in, either way, these are all considered valid acts of bia, and kana, he has acquired her, which is the biblical acquisition of the yavama. Halacha doubt. But medvamim, when did we say this? Is all shenisgav and livel. Where, yeah, even if it was by mistake or deliberate or so, all these other ways, but ultimately his intention was for cohabitation. He just didn't know it was this woman and so on. But if, let's say, he fell from the roof when he had already had a kishri for his wife, v'nitkaba, and he entered into the yavama, and he wasn't coming to do an act of bia, or he had cohabitation with her when he was intoxicated, where he doesn't recognize anything, or yoshno, sleeping, loikana, he has not acquired her, because he has not intended for an act of bia. So to niskam l'davar acher, let's say he was intending to do something else, and he had bia with the yavama. So again, loikana, he hasn't acquired her because his intention was not for an act of bia at all. He was intending to do something else, and it just got inserted in the yavama. But let's say he was trying to insert himself in an animal and he inserted in the yavama. Oh, then he has acquired her. Ultimately, he was intending to do some act of cohabitation, albeit not even with a woman, and definitely not with the yavama. But that's what he said. That's going to be b'me'ines, b'me'shegi, b'me'ratzim, b'me'ezid. Either way, it's going to work as a kinyan of yibum. Now, halacha hedram continues regarding after that he does yibum, where he married her, regarding now if he wants to not stay married with her. Because halacha is, if he doesn't want to even initially be with her, so then he does chalitza. But what's with halacha yivama shenis yavama? Okay, so the yavama, he did yibum with her. Now, v'amar b'tech shleish miyim, she says within 30 days of when they did the yibum, lo nevalti, he didn't cohabit with me yet. Now, v'avet b'shuayim, even though he's saying, what are you talking about? Ba'alti, I did be with her. Not only that, you know, v'garashti, and I actually divorced her, and she's showing the get that he gave her. So, according to him, he divorced her after he did bia, and if he did bia, already had her as a wife, because Yibum acquired her as a wife. Now, he doesn't have to do chalitza anymore, because once he marries her, she already becomes like a wife for all practical purposes, where he just divorced her with a get. But she's saying, he never did bia with me, so he was never my husband to allow get. You would require chalitza. So, kleifin leisah shiachlet. So, they force him to do chalitza, because according to what she's saying, he never did bia with her. And therefore, she's not permitted to marry anyone else until she gets chalitza. And she's more trusted than him, because up until 30 days, a person could withhold himself not to have bia with the woman that he's with. But we force him to do chalitza, since he already went, and as we see, he already gave her a get. So in other words, that's why we force him to do chalitza. We don't force him to do yibim, because since he already divorced her, so then she's forbidden to him to do yibim with her. No, but the medayin legirish, but if he didn't yet do gerushin yet, didn't divorce, didn't give her a get yet, and he's saying that, oh, I already did bia, and she's saying no, then kaifin say, then we force him either one of the two, either sheyivol to do bia, and therefore acquire her with yibum, a yachlitz, or if he doesn't want to do yibum, to do chalitza, but v'yetzu beget, but he also has to divorce her with a get, because we're concerned what he's saying, that he already did bia, and therefore she's not going to be permitted with someone else, unless this verse a get, like a regular wife. Now, that's within 30 days. Let's say he divorced her after that they were already together for 30 days. V'yemeshe says, lo nevalti. All this time they were together, he didn't do biyami, and therefore I'm not permitted with just a get. Now, here, he's more believed than her, because we have a presumption that a person would not be able to be with a woman for 30 days and not have be with her. So in this case, we only request from him for him to do chalitza to her. Now, we can't force him to do chalitza, because according to what he's saying, the get is sufficient because he already did bia, and we believe him because they were ready together more than 30 days. And moreover, he's particular not to want to do chalitza because it's embarrassing that she should take off his shoes and spit on him. Moreover, if he does chalitza, he can't take her back ever because it's shula yivna. But if there was a gerushin because he was already married to him, then you could be machzik gerushasai, and he could appease her and take her back if she hadn't married someone else in the meantime. Now, but based on what she's saying, she's forbidden to marry someone else without chalitza because she's saying that they never did bia. So she's not permitted. So therefore, she made herself forbidden to anyone else in the world if she doesn't have chalitza. So we request from him. I mean, we really believe him, but she's stuck, so we request from him to do chalitza. Now, let's say he admits, yeah, although it's already 45 days, more than 30 days, and he says, you're right, I didn't do bia, then we force him to do chalitza besides the get, because both of them are agreeing that the zika is still here, but he can't do yibim either because he already divorced her by giving her a get, and so she's already forbidden him. Now, let's say she says nevalti. She says, I already had bia. And he's saying, opposite of the case we're saying up until now. He says, no, I didn't do bia. So actually, in the tzricha chalitza, she does not require chalitza, which is like what he's saying, because I didn't do bia. So, you know, you're not my wife to be enough with the get. No, she doesn't require chalitza. He's not trusted to make her forbidden to every single person after that he already took her into his house. Because once he took her in, again, we have a presumption that he ready to be with her, and therefore all she needs is a get, and she does not require chalitza. Now the Rambam continues halacha vav regarding the order of the procedure of how do we go about either instituting yibum or doing chalitza. Says the Rambam, Misha Meis, so someone passed away without children. V'nich Acham Ram, he left over many brothers. So mitzvah ala gadol liyab mor liyachatz. The mitzvah is on the oldest to do yibum or chalitza. Something like it says in the pasuk in the Rambam Chafei. It's going to be the firstborn that's going to give birth. Now, from the tradition they learned, in other words, although the simple translation of the pasuk doesn't seem to indicate like we're going to explain, but based on tradition they learned that it's not like the simple understanding of the pasuk. They learned rather, we're talking about the firstborn, not that's going to be born. Simple understanding is the firstborn that's born from the union of the Yavam and the Yavama. Oh, that's going to take the name of the one, the father who passed away without any children. No. We're talking about the firstborn of the brothers. The oldest of the brothers will take the place of his brother who passed away. This is what it says, what it means to say that that gave birth, means that their mother gave birth. It doesn't mean like the simple understanding of the pasuk that Yavam will give birth. Again, the simple understanding is possible by Yibchai or Shatayla, the firstborn that's going to be born from that union, the Yom Yavama, from the brother that took over the marriage, that son is going to take the neshama, take over the life of the father. No. It means, the firstborn that's born from their mother, he's going to be the one to go ahead and do Yibum with his departed brother's widow. Now, halacha zayin, let's say the oldest brother doesn't want to do Yibum, doesn't want to marry his sister-in-law, even if he's willing to do Chalitza. But first, Machzina Kol Achen. First, we go through all the other brothers and see if they want to do Yibum. If they don't want to do Chayzin, then you go back to the oldest brother and they tell him, Alecha Mitzah, look, the Mitzah is on you. Or either do Chalitza or do Yibum. Now, Vein Koyfin is a Yavim V'Yavim. But we don't force the brother to do Yibum. But we're going to force him to do Chalitza because he's got to do one or the other. Now, let's say, oh my God, let's say the oldest brother says, wait for me until the younger brother becomes older. Or till the brother who went away till he comes back. Or until there's a brother that's deaf mute until he becomes healthy. And then we'll consult with him. We'll ask the younger who becomes older, or the one who went away, or the one who was deaf mute. And then we'll ask him if he wants to do Yibum. The Imla Yirtza, if he doesn't want to do Yibum, okay, then on the Yibum, then you know, I feel bad, I'll do the Yibum. I'll decide to Chalitza. And this is Ram Ein Shemalei. We don't listen to the older brother. Rather, we tell him, Alecha mitzah on you is the mitzah. If the other brother says it, so we go and we check. But if it's something that requires waiting because he's a minor or he's deaf mute or he's away on the trip, then we don't wait and we tell him, look, you choose either Yim or Chalitza. Alecha test. Let's say also if the oldest brother is somewhere in a faraway country. So the younger brother can't say, look, the mitzah, as we said in the previous halachas, is primarily in the oldest brothers. Wait till he comes back. No, rather we tell the brother that's here, either you do Yim or do Chalitza, we don't wait and delay for the Shemer Yavam, for this Yavama. Now halacha Yod, the Ram continues regarding, what if the Yavama, the widow, if she doesn't want to do Yibam? Says the Ram, Yavama ruli Yibam. If you have a Yavama, who's fit to do Yibam? There are some cases that you can't do Yibam. Let's say she's fit. Shalei Ratzis Lis Yabim, and she doesn't want to do Yibam without a valid complaint. Because if, let's say, she has a valid complaint that her Yavam is not appropriate to her, he has a blemish, or whatever it is, as we'll see later on in the Luch Yadal, then she has a right not to do Yibam and rather have Chalitza with getting her Ksuba. But here, no, for no good reason, she doesn't want to do Yibam. Dina Kedin Meridis Albala. Then she has the Halacha like a rebellious woman against her husband. So what we do is with Tashit Zerambam, that just like we force the husband to divorce his wife when she's Meredes, as the Rambam said in Hilchas Ishis, so too, the Yavama, although she really is not supposed to, but she's like rebellious, saying, I don't want to be with him. So we'll force the husband, because we can't force the wife to be with him, we'll force him to do Chalitza, but Vatetzim, like Ksuba, she's going to leave without a Ksuba, because she's a Meredes, she's a rebellious woman who loses her Ksuba. Now, v'menich achiv nashim rabbis. Let's say the brother who passed away had many wives. So komi shetvah ha'yavim mehen li'yibim. So any one of them that the yavim is going to pick to do yibim with, because you have to do. He gets to choose which one he wants to. V'lo yiratzeh, and that one doesn't want to do yibum. He amaretis. So again, she's the rebellious wife. V'chelitzla, and okay, he can't force her. So he'll have to do chalitzta. But v'teisub like zuba, she's gonna leave without a zuba. Now a shartzer says shalay nitpu, the other co-wives who were not petitioned to do yibum with. So they weren't considered meredes. Neitlis ksubas and ksharamalis, they'll take their ksubas like other widows. Halacha yudalf. Hayah yavamin rabim. Let's say there were many yavams. The one who passed away had many brothers. The tava isa hagadol yibum. Now the oldest brother, he goes and he petitions the wife, the widow, to do yibum. Now v'yena reitz a boy. She doesn't want the oldest brother. V'reitz avochim. She wants one of the other brother-in-laws. In shemel, we don't listen to her. She mitzvah gadol yam. Like we said, because the mitzvah on the oldest one to do yibum. She has to go ahead and do it with the oldest brother. Now, halachid beis. Let's say the oldest brother says, look, any reitza, leili yam leilachas. I don't want to be involved with this. I don't want to do yibim. I don't know chalitza. Hare ach lefanayach. Here's my brother. He's willing to do it. V'tava eisech menachem leyibim. Now, one of the other brothers goes and petitions her. Okay, so the oldest is not doing it. One of the other ones petitions her to do yibim. The inner reitza bayin. She doesn't want that brother either. Meaning the oldest doesn't want to do it. And now the widow doesn't want to do it with that brother. But v'ratza ba'achach. She wants one of the other brothers. But who writes above, and that brother actually wants to yibim with her too, so in Zemaradis. So this woman's not considered a rebellious woman, although she's refusing this petition because she's willing to do it with one of the other brothers. Now, Mi'achash and Estal Kagadash Mitzvah, because the Rambam explains the reason. Once the oldest brother, who the primary mitzvah is on him, as the Pasuk says, Bahaya Bachayash, a tailid, once he's removed from doing this mitzvah, Hadri Kul and Shamanson, older brothers are equal in this halacha. And which it catches that the rabbi actually holds that no, the older the child is, the preference he has for the mitzvah. But the Rambam says they're all equal. Now, since she's willing to do it with one of the brothers, and that brother is willing to do it with her, I raise a limit that she's not considered a rebellious woman. The lawyer, not only that, if one of them is in another country, she says, look, I'm waiting for him that's overseas until he comes back and does yibum with me. This one, I don't want him. So in Zimred, she's not considered a rebellious woman. And we tell this one, and if not the oldest brother, who is petitioning her, she was willing to wait for that brother overseas. If you want to do chalitza and give her ksuba, chalitza, go ahead and do chalitza. If not, she's willing to wait until your brother comes along and does yibum with her. You don't have any preferential rights with her more than the other brother, because neither of you are the oldest ones. So again, either let her wait for him, or if you want to do your duties, then you'll do chalitza, but you got to give her her ksubah, not considered meredes. Halacha yigimel. Let's say, continuing from the previous halacha, that brother who she said, oh, she's willing to do yibum with him, who is overseas, finally comes back from his trip. And he doesn't want her. So then we go back to the one who initially, the other brother who had petitioned her to do yibum, and she didn't want him. We tell her, look, there's no other brother who wants to do yibum with you besides this one. And the preference is given to doing the mitzvah of yibum. And this brother wants to do it with you. Either do yibum with him, or you're going to go out with Eretz Suba, kedin kamaradis, like any woman who's considered rebellious, because here he's willing to do the biblical marriage of that the Torah is giving him the rights, min ha-shamayim, to marry you, and you don't want to, so then you consider as a rebellious woman. Now, Halacha Yudalef, Ram continues regarding the ksuba of a yavama. Kal yavama, any yavama. Shamarner that we said, Shadina Shataklis Lightis Yam, that Allah is that you're supposed to do chalitza and not to yibim, like the Rambam explained in the Parak Allah, hey, and later on in Parak Gimel. So she's not supposed to have yibim danta, rather chalitza. Harezu Netals Ksubasa, so she takes her ksuba, she's not rebellious. We said the halach is she's not supposed to have yibim done with her. So she takes a ksuba, im yesh ksuba, if she had a ksuba from her first husband. Kashar Kalaman is like any widow. Let's say her yavam who wants to do yibim with her, he's with boils afflicted all over his body. He has other blemishes that is on people. So we don't force her to then do yibim. She's not considered a meredes because he's repulsive to her. So he has to chalitza, and yes, she takes her ksuba. Now, let's say no dumbam woman. Let's say the yavama develops blemishes. Kishi shemeres yavam, when she's ready waiting, after her husband passed away, when she's ready waiting for bia, for yibam, which at that point she's already considered like somewhat married, somewhat engaged to her yavam. So nestach v'sedeyu, it's like called his field got ruined, meaning it's not something that he has a tain on her. It happened after they were quote-unquote engaged through the zika of the yibam. If he doesn't want to do yibum with her because she has these blemishes, then again, yachad tzavit niksuba, he can do chalitza, but he's got to then give her the ksuba like any woman who developed blemishes after she was engaged, like the Rambam said in Perek Chafei from Hilchas Yishus. Halachat is vav. Yivama shenodja hanoya miyivama b'chaya bala. If there was this yivama, who she vowed not to have any pleasure, now she didn't specify the pleasure of intimacy, because her intention was not to exempt herself from when her husband died, but she didn't like this brother-in-law when she was married with her husband. And she vowed she's not going to have any pleasure from this brother-in-law. And she did this, she took this vow when her husband was still alive. Or let's say she vowed a prohibition to have any pleasure from any Jewish man, meaning not to have cohabitation with them, because it was very harsh for her to have cohabitation. And her intention was to appease her husband, who not to suspect her why she's not having intimacy, she must be looking at some other man. No, she's like, you know what, I forbid any intimacy on any man because it's hard for me to have intimacy. So that's the reason, again, why the brother-in-law is also forbidden for intimacy. So in either one of those cases, and now her husband died without any children, so we forced the Yavam to do chalitza to her, obviously because they can't do yibum because she's forbidden to have a pleasure from him. And she takes her ksuba because she's not a Maria, this is because she never intended to do it to exempt herself from the Yavam. Now, but let's say she took this vow after her husband had already passed away, which obviously that's a ploy to try to preempt that she can't have yibum with her Yavam. Then look, we request from him to do chalitza. If he willingly agrees, then he'll do chalitza and give her the ksuba. But if he doesn't want to, he's a meredes. So then yes, this yavama is a meredes, she's considered a rebellious wife, and we force him to do chalitza, but without a ksuba, because this was her own undoing, that now he can't do yibum with her. And v'chein meskav d'menidra, so too, if let her intent with her vow. Let's even when she was still a husband. Her whole intention of making the vow was kedishlo yam moisa, that if it ever happens, as insurance that her brother-in-law will never be able to do yibum with her. Again, this was her doing. In klevin leslachlitz, again, we don't force him to do chalitza and to thus give her ksuba, because he could say, no, I want to do yibum and I can't do it because of her. Elam kein mar debetetz lo ksuba, unless she's considered a rebellious woman, she'll leave without ksuba. In other words, rather, we're going to not force him to give the ksuba, rather, it's going to be in a forced situation, like because of her rebelliousness, and thus she's not going to get her ksuba. Regarding Yavama, that the Yavam petitions her to say, okay, look, we're not interested in getting married, let's do chalitza. Vehimer, she says, no, any chalitza, so then tells ksuba, no, I'm not going to take chalitza, I'm not going to take the ksuba. I'm going to stay in my husband's house where my husband who departed always lived, and I'm going to get fed from the state. Meaning, let's leave things as it is. Uchashar kalaman, it's like all of the widows. We don't listen to her. Because they acquired this widow to this Yavam from heaven. That's what the Torah says, that now there's a connection, there's like a knot between this Yavama to this Yavam. If the brother-in-law wants to do Yibam, he could do it. If he wants to do Chalitza, and then he gives her the Ksuba. But she can't say, I don't want to do any of that, and like just leave me out of this, because they're already connected with the Zika of Yibam. Now, not only that, rather, even if she says, look, I won't even take from this state. I want to get, I'll use my own monies for food. I'm going to stay a widow all the days of my life. Ain't Shaimala, we don't listen to her. Rather, we force her to accept at least Chalitza. Shari Yavim Maimala, because the Yavim, the brother-in-law, could tell her, look, as long as there's a bond between me and you, which is as long as until Yima Chalitza is done, there's somewhat of a bond. Ain't listening to Yishachar, they're not going to give me another wife. They're going to say, oh, what do you mean? You have this sister-in-law of yours. And as the Rambam explains, even if he's married already, after Shisha Ishachers, could be he's going to want to marry another woman. And again, as long as he has this bond between him and his sister-in-law, they're not going to give him another wife. Or another reason is Tila Mariva B'Tech Beis Ne'avama. He might have a dispute in his house because of this sister-in-law, where his wife is going to think, oh, he's going to end up doing Yibun to his sister-in-law, and she's going to have a co-wife in the house. It's going to make a whole dispute. When he does Chalitza, he can't marry her ever again. So it's not going to cause strife. So therefore, we force her to accept Chalitza. Halacha Yitzayin. Yivamash lahayil al-ba'ala ksuba. Let's say the Yivama, who did not have a ksuba from her first husband who passed away. Why? Because she was actually forbidden to marry him. For example, let's say she was a secondary erevet him, which was his mother's mother. Vahari materis liyavam, but she's actually permitted this Yavama to the Yavam, to his brother. How so? Because they were paternal brothers. They had the same father, but not maternally. They didn't have the same mother. So it's not an erva to the Yavam, as it was a Shnia to the one who passed away, Kamesh's bar, like we explained around Perek Vav Halachit Gimel. So Imratza Hayavim Liyavim, if the Yavim wants to do Yivim Samiyavim, he could do it because she's permitted him. And it's paternal. It's his paternal brother's wife who died without any children. Now, Ve'in La'a Lav Ksuba. Now, she doesn't have any rights to Ksuba from the Yavim. Kedech Shlohayu La'a Bala, just like she had no rights from the husband. The Yavim only takes over the possessions of and the in the status of the one who passed away. And just like there was no Ksuba on him, there's no Ksuba on him either. Now, Vedinya Im Yavama Bat Tosefes. Now, however, the halacha of the Yavama will be with the Yavim regarding the additions. That's only regarding the Ikar Ksuba. But the additions that any husband could write, which although by the Shnei there's no Ksuba, but if he on his own adds on, then that does make him liable. So that's going to be the same thing with the Yavama, with the Yavim, Kamesh Hoysam Bala, like it was with her husband, where he's going to be obligated with those additions, even though she does not get the primary Ksuba. Now, that's regarding if she wasn't allowed to have the Ksuba. Let's say the husband, the first husband passed away, did not write our ksuba, even though she was permitted to him, and he just didn't write it. Or she sold her ksuba to him. Or she pardoned him the ksuba. Then the yavim has to write for her ksuba because the husband himself who passed away, the truth is if he wanted to stay married to her after she sold it or pardoned him the ksuba, he really has to then subsequently write her in the ksuba anyway because he's not allowed to be married to a woman like ksuba because it might just be easy to go ahead and divorce her, which the rabbis wanted to avoid. And therefore he has to write in the ksuba kashar halmanis, and what type of ksuba does he write? Like all of the widows, where once she had cohabitation, her ksuba is going to be mana, 100 dinar. Now the Rav Halacha Yitzchas continues regarding the Yavama in this state of Shemer Siyavim, that if she has, she gets married, she gets engaged to a czar, to someone else. She doesn't do Yim Chalitza with the Yavam. Rather, she goes and when her husband passed away, she goes and gets married to someone else. Says Ram HaYavama, this Yavama, Koyim Shiyavila Yavama, before the Yavam gets a chance to do Yibim with her, or before he even does Chalitz with her, Harehi Asur Linas Lazar. So at that point, when there's still that Zikat, is the bond between the Yavam and the Yavama, she's forbidden to marry to some other person, from like it says in the Pasuk in Devarim Chafei, Leiti Eishes Hamitz HaChutza Leizar. The wife of the one who died is not permitted to go outside to some other person. Now, Vimnis is Lachobal, if she went and got married to someone else and cohabited with him, like Kuhuvihi, the new husband, that third party, and her, the Yavama, get lashes, because they violated this is in the Torah, umitzi baget. Now, he has to divorce her with a get, and this even if they didn't even do bia, because there is a kedushin over here that requires a get, and Vathiluhi Lakama Banamiman, even if she already had many children from that czar from that foreign person, and the chiddush in that is, we don't say that, okay, let's just let the Yavim just do chalitza and let her stay married to the husband, not to make rumors regarding her sons that they're invalid. Rather, no, we say that she's going to remain forbidden to this husband. And the Yavama chalitzla, and Vinesro lav val Yavama, and she's forbidden on him, on that new husband, and on her Yavim, because she's like the woman who is married, which here she was also somewhat married with this Zika bond, and then she goes and marries someone else, and then her husband comes back, where we said in previous halachas that she's going to be forbidden on both of them. And the only thing here is also, however, but that her sons from the second one is not mamzerim, because although she's what called the Yavama Lashuk, although she's not allowed to marry some other person, but that's only Isra Lav, it's only a negative prohibition, and a mamzer is not from Isra of Chiyuva Lavin. So her children are not going to be mamzerim. That's why we thought maybe we would say that, oh, let them just stay married. No, we don't. We say she's forbidden on that czar and on her yavam. The yavam achelitzla and her yavam does chalitzta, and then she'll be permitted to marry other people. But as long as he didn't do yibam chalitza, she has this isra of loisi eshes meisachus lezar, and if she got married to someone else, she's got to leave that husband, and then she's not permitted to anyone else until she has chalitza. Now this was if she married someone else. But halacha yitesh as Rambam niskan shalacha. Let's say she only got kedushin, halachic engagement from another person. Then lo nesal yavama. Then she's not forbidden on her yavam because it's not any less than the married woman that got engaged to someone else and then her husband came back, where she's not forbidden on her first husband. As we explained in Perek Yud from Milchas Gerushin, elo nesan law. Rather, he gives her, meaning hazar shekidsha, this foreigner who engaged her, he gives her a get because ultimately, although she has this bond with the yavam, but the kedushin is typhus, it takes effect by Yavam Lashuk out of doubt, because it's only a Chiv Lavin, it's not that of an Erva that has Karas. And so first the Zahar has to go ahead and give her a get. And then the Yavam could go ahead and do either Yibam or Chalitza. Now, if the Yavam was a Kayin, Sheinu Yochel Lisa Gusha, that he can't marry a divorcee, and here she's being divorced from the Tsar, because the condition was Typhus, so you would think to say that, okay, let the Kohen just do Chalitza Tar, because he can't do Yibam anyway because she's a Grusha, and let it be permitted to the one who did Kedushin with her, that Tsar, we don't say that. Rather, Mekadesh, we say, Tetzim and Azar Beget, she has to leave that foreigner with a get. Why do we say that? Anyways, the Yavam can't do Yibu. We don't want what's called the sinner to gain, where he's going to gain by having beaten the Kohen, and rather, and then we say that the Yavam does Chalitza, because if not for his sin, that Kohen, the Yavam, could have done Yibum, because she wouldn't have been a Grusha, she would have just been a widow, which is permitted to a Kohen. And now she forbidden him because of this person. Now we're going to remain her to be married with that person? No, rather, even after the Chalitza, we forbid her to go back to that person because of the penalty, because since he went and engaged her without permission. Halacha Chaf. Let's say Chazar Azar Shagir Shem Erisim. Let's say this foreigner who divorced the Yavam, the Shemeres Yavam, which he had done only Erisim. He had only been engaged with her. And he divorced her, as Halacha requires, as we said before. But in the Sa'a, Achar Shechalitza Yavama, he remarried her after the subsequent Chalitza of the Yavam. So in that case, we don't remove her from that one who, that Zahar, who has subsequently married her, because it's enough as a stringency initially that we penalize him to have to divorce her. Avlam Geshem in Nisuin, but if let's say he divorced her, that this Zahar had initially, before she had Yimah Chalitza from the Yavam, had done Nisuin with her, and he divorced her. V'chazin Nisa Acha Shechalitza, then he went and remarried her after the finally the Yavam then did Chalitza, then we actually remove her from his from a relationship with him. Because now it's similar to a married woman, which she had gotten married, and that's specifically married, not engaged. And then her husband comes back, which is what this is the equivalent of that, because she's like really like married, so to speak. She has the Ziga bond with the oven. She has tur alzev alzev, that she's forbidden to both the Tsar and to the oven, just like she's forbidden to that other man and the original husband. Like we explained previously in Perek Yud from Hilchos Gerushin Halacha Zayin. Now, Vayivama Shezinsa, in contrast, however, the Yavama was just Mezana. If she just had a relationship without getting married, Mizukuka, and she still had the Zika bond of the Yavam, then Lo Nesal Yavama, she actually does not become forbidden to her Yavam, because she's not really a married woman, and because it's only a negative prohibition of marrying another person, and she didn't marry that other person. So, rather, Rotzah Chalitz, Rotzah Miyavim, if the Yavim wants to, he can do Chalitz, if he wants to, he can do Yibu. Halacha Falaf. Kol Yavama Shisavim Midavreim. Any Yavama that is rabbinically in doubt, Im Yeshu Lezikas Yavim, if there is this, the Zika bond with the Yavim, or Yeinu Lezikas Yavim, or maybe there's no Zika bond, could go in, for example, what's the case of a rabbinic doubt? Yavama, she yelled the Vlad, if the Yavama gave birth, meaning when her husband passed away, she ultimately gave birth to a child, Shulekolu Chadashim, that the child was not born full term. Now, moreover, so we don't know if it's a viable child, then it wasn't born 9 months. The child died within 30 days. That the halacha is that she has to do chalitza rabbinically because of this doubt, Kamesh Brown, like we explained in Perak Alpha Halacha Hey, which is only rabbinically required. If she goes and she gets engaged to someone else before chalitza, then we will allow the Yavam to just do Chalitza, but Teshem Bala to remain married to that foreigner, and she does not have to have a subsequent Kedushin, because it's only a rabbinic doubt. Now, the Niskatcha L'Koyin Shu'asa B'Chalitza, moreover, bigger Chedush is, even if, let's say, that foreigner was a Koyin, who, if we're going to subsequently do Chalitza, it's going to make her forbidden to that person that she had a Kedushin to, then we don't have the Yavam even do Chalitza. And the reason is, we don't make this man, who is a Kohen, forbidden to his wife, because if a rabbinic doubt, because biblically, the child is considered a bona fide child. Because since we see the child looks like a regular child, so we don't assume that there's a bond with the Yavam, just like if the one who passed away had a child. It's rabbinically that we're in doubt, so because of that rabbinic doubt, we'll allow them to remain married, and the Yavam do Chalitza when they're married. But if he's a Kohen, we're not going to do Chalitza at all. Now, but let's say Yesha Kohen the Mace, but let's say that other person who is a Kohen divorces her or he dies, oh, then Harizu Chaletz, then she will get Chalitza subsequently from the Yavam, because we're not going to permit her to get married to someone else without chalitza. We only do it to not to be forbidden to her husband who is a kohen. But once he divorced her or he died, so then there's no reason to permit her to any other man without chalitza. And then she permitted to others initially to go and get married to anyone else.